Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source, grassroots, and partially solar-powered community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are its traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. Please get some notebook, paper, and pen so you can take notes during the show. First, we start with some debt-related news and facts for the week. We're going to look at an article by Andy Kroll and Mother Jones. Fannie and Freddie's foreclosure barons. How the federal housing agencies and some of the biggest bailed-out banks are helping shady lawyers make millions by pushing families out of their homes. Late one night in February 2009, Ariane Ice sat poring over records on the website of Florida's Palm Beach County. She's been at it for weeks, forsaking sleep to sift through thousands of legal documents. She and her husband, Tom, an attorney, ran a boutique foreclosure defense firm called Ice Legal. Their slogan, "Your home is your castle, defend it." Now, they were up against one of Florida's biggest foreclosure law firms, founded by multimillionaire attorney David J. Stern. It controlled one-fifth of the state's booming market in foreclosure-related services. Ice had a strong hunch that Stern's operation was up to something and that she might find out what. In fact, that night, she found her smoking gun. It involved something called an assignment of mortgage, the document that certifies who owns the property and is thus entitled to foreclose on it. Especially these days, the assignment is key evidence in a foreclosure case, with so many loans having been bought, sold, securitized and traded, establishing who owns the mortgage is hardly a trivial matter. It frequently requires months of sleuthing in order to untangle the web of banks, brokers, and investors, among others. By law, a firm must execute, complete, sign, and notarize an assignment before attempting to seize somebody's home. A Florida notary stamp is valid for 4 years, and its expiration date is visible on the imprint. But here in front of ICE were dozens of assignments notarized with stamps that hadn't even existed until months, in some cases nearly a year, after the foreclosures were filed, which meant Stern's people were foreclosing first and doing their legal paperwork later. In effect, it also meant that they were lying to the court, an act that could get a lawyer disbarred or even prosecuted. There's no question that it's pervasive, says Tom Ice of the backdated documents, nearly two dozen of which were verified by Mother Jones. We found tons of them. This all might sound like a legal technicality, but it's not. The faster a foreclosure moves, the more difficult it is for a homeowner to fight it, even if the case was filed in error. In March, upon discovering that Stern's firm had fudged an assignment of mortgage in another case, a judge in Central Florida's Pasco County dismissed the case with prejudice, an unusually harsh ruling that means it can never be refiled. The execution date and notarial date, she wrote in a blunt ruling, were fraudulently backdated in a purposeful, intentional effort to mislead the defendant and this court. More often than not, however, in uncontested cases, missing or problematic documents simply go overlooked. In Florida, where foreclosure cases must go before a judge, some states handle them as a bureaucratic matter, Iowa, you have to go in front of a judge, Dwindling budgets and soaring caseloads have overwhelmed local courts. Last year, the foreclosure dockets of Lee County in Southwest Florida became so clogged that the court initiated rapid-fire hearings lasting less than 20 seconds per case. The rocket docket, attorneys called it. In Broward County, the epicenter of America's housing bust, the courthouse recently began holding foreclosure hearings in a hallway, a scene that local attorneys called the new Broward Zoo. The judges are so swamped with this stuff that they just don't pay attention, says Marjorie Gallant, a veteran Florida foreclosure defense lawyer. They just rubber stamp them. But the ICES had uncovered what looked like a pattern, so Tom booked a deposition with Stern's top deputy, Cheryl Sammons, and confronted her with the backdated documents, including two from cases her firm had filed against ICE Legal's clients. Sammons, whose counsel was present, insisted that the filings were just a mistake. She refused to elaborate, so the ICES moved to depose the notaries and other Stern employees whose names were on the evidence. On the eve of those depositions, however, the firm dropped foreclosure proceedings against the ICES clients. It was a bittersweet victory. The ICES had won their cases, but Stern's practices remained under wraps. This was done to cover up fraud, Tom fumes. It was done precisely so they could try to hit a reset button and keep us from getting the real goods. Backdated documents, according to a chorus of foreclosure experts, are typical of the sort of shenanigans practiced by a breed of law firms known as foreclosure mills. While far less scrutinized than subprime lenders or Wall Street banks, these firms undermine efforts by government and the mortgage industry to put struggling homeowners back on track at a time of record foreclosures. There were 2.8 million foreclosures in 2009, and 3.8 million are projected for this year, 2010. The mills think they can just change things and make it up to get to the end result they want, because there's no one holding them accountable, says Prentice Cox, a foreclosure expert at the University of Minnesota Law School. We've got these people with incentives to go ahead with foreclosures and flood the real estate market. Stern is hardly the only outfit to attract criticism, but his story is a useful window into the multi-billion dollar default services industry, which includes both law firms like Stern's and contract companies that handle paper-pushing tasks for other big foreclosure lawyers. Over the past decade and a half, Stern has built up one of the industry's most powerful operations, a global machine with offices in Florida, Kentucky, Puerto Rico, and the Philippines, squeezing profits from every step in the foreclosure process. Among his loyal clients, who've sent him hundreds of thousands of cases, are some of the nation's biggest, and thanks to American taxpayers, most handsomely bailed out banks, including Wells Fargo, Bank of America, and Citigroup. A lot of these mills are doing the same kind of things, says Linda Fisher, a professor and mortgage fraud expert at Seton Hall University Law School. But she added, I've heard some pretty bad stories about Stern from people in Florida. If you're just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. While the mortgage fiasco has so far cost American homeowners an estimated $7 trillion in lost equity, it has made Stern, who, by the way, is no relation to NBA Commissioner David J. Stern, fabulously rich. His $15 million, 16,000 square foot mansion occupies a corner lot in a private island community on the Atlantic Intracoastal Waterway. It is featured on a water taxi tour of the area's grandest estates, along with the abodes of Jay Leno and billionaire Blockbuster founder Wayne Huizenga, as well as the former residents of Desi Arnaz and Lucille Ball. Last year, Stern snapped up his next-door neighbor's property for million dollars and tore down the house to make a way for a tennis court. Docked outside is misunderstood. Stern's 130-foot jet-propelled Mangusta yacht, a $20 million-plus replacement for his previous 108-foot Mangusta. He also owns 4 Ferraris, 4 Porsches, 2 Mercedes-Benzes, and a Bugatti, a high-end Italian brand with models costing north of $1 million a pop. Despite his immense wealth and ability to affect the lives of ordinary people, Stern operates out of the public eye. His law firm has no website. He is rarely mentioned in the mainstream business press, and neither he nor several of his top employees responded to repeated interview requests for this story. Stern's personal attorney, Jeffrey Tu, also declined to comment. But scores of interviews and thousands of pages of legal and financial filings, internal emails, and other documents obtained by Mother Jones provided insight into his operation. So did 8 of Stern's former employees, attorneys, paralegals, and other staffers who agreed to talk on condition of anonymity. Most still work in related fields and fear that speaking publicly about their ex-boss could harm their careers. Foreclosure mills owe their existence to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the federally guaranteed entities that essentially created, beginning in 1968, the vast marketplace where loans are traded. Their mandate was to promote property ownership by making a large pool of credit available at affordable rates. They accomplished this by buying mortgage debt from banks and packaging it into bonds, which allowed investors to get in on the action. The banks responded to the demand by lending more money to their customers, and Fannie and Freddie's combined mortgage portfolio exploded from $61 billion in 1980 to $1.2 trillion 2 decades later, according to the Government Accountability Office. Their dominance also gave them the clout to rewrite rules for the mortgage industry, standardizing underwriting guidelines, loan documents, and the like. Fannie and Freddie also reshaped the foreclosure industry. Their huge holdings meant they had to deal with thousands of foreclosures annually, even during periods when only a small percentage of loans were going bad. In the 1990s, the market expanded into subprime territory to feed the securitization beast, and borrowers began defaulting at increasingly higher rates. Hiring lawyers on a case-by-case basis was burdensome. So Fannie and Freddie put together a stable of law firms, prime contractors prepared to litigate large bundles of foreclosures quickly and cheaply. They urged these hand-picked firms to bring in-house all of the related services, inspections, eviction notices, sale of repossessed properties, and so forth, or at least to retain a suitable subcontractor to handle the tasks. Thus emerged the foreclosure supermarket. Stern's company is one of dozens of mills that now churn through more than a million cases a year for Freddie and Fannie, big banks, and private lenders. Built like industry assembly lines, the mills employ small armies of paralegals and other low-level employees who mass-produce court filings, run title searches, and schedule scores of hearings and property auctions daily. Meanwhile, staff attorneys appear for dozens of court hearings in rapid succession, pulling plastic filing cabinets on wheels behind them as they dash from one courtroom to the next. Stern and his ilk typically create in-house subsidiaries, which then bill the parent law firm for the various services. All sorts of garbage is loaded on, notes Irv Acklesberg, a Philadelphia consumer law attorney. The business model is simple: to tear through cases as quickly as possible. Stern's company handled 70,382 foreclosures in 2009 alone. This breakneck pace stems from how the mills get paid. Rather than billing hourly, they receive a predetermined flat fee for the foreclosure, typically around $1,000, plus add-ons for each of the related services. The more they foreclose, the more they make. As a result, consumer attorneys and legal experts say even families who have been foreclosed upon illegally and who can afford to make good on their mortgages end up getting steamrolled. It's how fast can I turn this file, says Ira Reingold, executive director of the National Association of Consumer Advocates in Washington, D.C. For these guys, the law is irrelevant. The process is irrelevant. The substance is irrelevant. In 2006, for instance, a federal bankruptcy judge blasted New Jersey law firm Shapiro and Diaz for filing 250 home seizure motions pre-signed by an employee who had left the firm more than a year earlier. Calling it the blithe implementation of a renegade practice, the judge slapped Shapiro and Diaz with $125,000 in fines. The following year, a federal judge in Texas fined Barrett, Burke, Wilson, Castle, Daffin, and Frappier, a powerful foreclosure firm, $65,000 for filing computer-generated documents that the judge called grossly erroneous and gibberish. Likewise, Wells Fargo was fined $95,000 thanks to shoddy paperwork by Florida Default Law Group, a Wells contractor that clearly believed, according to the judge, that filing any old pleading without undertaking an investigation into its accuracy is perfectly acceptable practice. In April of this year, the state attorney general's office began probing Florida Default for allegedly fabricating and/or presenting false and misleading documents in foreclosure cases. So what are the terms of foreclosure? Assignment of mortgage means a legal document certifying who owns the property. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, these are federally backed private entities which created the marketplace where loans are securitized and traded. They helped give birth to foreclosure mills. A foreclosure mill is a law firm that processes foreclosures on a massive scale, quick and dirty. Lender, of course, is a financial institution that sells a loan. A mortgage servicer is a firm that the lender or mortgage investor hires to collect monthly payments. Securitize means to package thousands of loans into bonds that can be sold to investors. And finally, a workout is a deal a defaulting borrower cuts with the lender or servicer to adjust interest rates, principal, or the loan period. So those are some common terms of a foreclosure. If you're just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. And I'm talking about foreclosures and foreclosure mills. For a homeowner in default, one of the best options is a loan modification or workout agreement in which the borrower and the mortgage servicer, the firm that collects monthly payments on the lender's behalf, renegotiate the details of a loan. When successful, it allows families to keep their homes, banks and bondholders to maintain their cash flow, and neighborhoods to escape the collateral damage of yet another blighted property. That's why the Obama administration is really pushing this kind of strategy. Yet, on the other hand, in their rush to foreclose, mills frequently charge ahead even after a servicer has agreed to modify a troubled loan. What's more, in November of 2009, survey of 113 consumer advocates in 23 states and the District of Columbia, nearly all said they represented homeowners in cases where lenders and their attorneys, usually from a mill, tried to foreclose without bothering to check whether the homeowner qualified for a federal mortgage relief program. Borrowers received confusing, seemingly contradictory correspondence from the servicer and the foreclosure attorney, and in too many cases find that their home has been sold before the modification analysis has even been completed, according to Alice Cohen, a staff attorney with the National Consumer Law Center, when speaking to Congress this past April. The mills have little incentive to cooperate with efforts to keep people in their homes. Indeed, knows foreclosure defense attorney Gallant, once these high-volume firms run through the current backlog of subprime defaults, some of them may find themselves with little to do. They have an interest in this going on as long as possible, she says. Even Stern admits as much. In a March speech to prospective investors, he made note of the administration's embattled $75 billion homeowner relief program. Fortunately, it's failing, he said. It's completely screwed up, laments Ira Rheingold. The machine can't be stopped because the people who are making money operating the machine don't want it to stop. David Stern was well positioned to cash in on the business opportunity offered by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. He was one of the first lawyers to automate the foreclosure process as a partner in Shapiro and Diaz back in the early 90s. He broke off and created his own business, and by 1997, when Fannie and Freddie rolled out their most favored attorney program in Florida, Stern was on the list. He hired a slew of rookie attorneys whose job was primarily to rubber stamp legal documents. One attorney Stern brought on in 2007, fresh from law school, told Mother Jones reporter she was ordered to sign legal filings that were dumped on her desk before she had a chance to read them. She eventually quit. Ethics are thrown out the door, she said. Reducing the foreclosure process to a data entry model wasn't an entirely novel idea, but Stern set out to perfect the model. His minions created a master database dubbed the Bible, with information on anything that could possibly relate to foreclosure cases in Florida. The things specific judges required, how many file copies they wanted, clerks' phone numbers, names of assistants, even warning about when a certain judge was cranky and having a bad day. Within the firm, there was an unofficial contest to see who could jam a case through the fastest. While rushing foreclosures isn't illegal, Stern's fledgling firm was promptly accused of something that is, gouging people who are trying to get out of default. Stern was sued for filing excessive fees on families fighting to keep their homes and eventually settled a class action against his firm for $2.2 million. Yet, despite legal setbacks, Stern remained on a roll. 2 years running, in 98 and 99, Fannie Mae named him as Attorney of the Year. A Fannie Mae spokeswoman did not respond to requests for a comment. The response to his loss in 98 and 99 was he teamed up with other foreclosure attorneys and hired lobbyists to urge state lawmakers to cap class action damages in consumer lawsuits. The Republican-controlled legislature did oblige in May of 2001. Stern continued cramming more employees, documents, and computers into his strip mall headquarters, and the cases kept coming in. From 2006 to 2008, as the number of Americans losing their homes doubled, Stern's case referrals nearly quintupled, and lenders sent him 12 times as many repossessed properties to sell off. Gross revenues just for Stern's administrative operations, titles, home sales, and default processing leaped from $40 million a year to $200 million, and his payroll swelled from 400 to nearly 1,000 employees. In 2008, flush with cash, the firm left its strip mall digs for a luxurious building down the street overlooking a small lake. Amid its meteoric rise, interviews and court records show Stern's operation began to cut corners. Beyond the backdated assignments, employees told the reporter that the firm routinely doctored its legal filings. Case chronologies, the timeline of important events in a foreclosure, were changed all day long to create the appearance of propriety, notes a former Stern paralegal. Internal documents show that the firm attempted to push cases through the courts even when key documents like the assignment of a mortgage or the mortgage contract itself were missing from the file. At a recent Stern hearing, a Pinellas County judge, Anthony Rondolino, became fed up with the mills in general, declaring, "I don't have any confidence that any of the documents the court is receiving on these mass foreclosures are valid. There's currently a suit against Stearns' firm claiming the true ownership on mortgages for tens of thousands of homeowners were hidden in order to illegally obtain final judgments of foreclosure, or that the firm blithely refused to stop a foreclosure even though the homeowners hadn't missed or been late on their monthly payments. But despite civil allegations past and present, banks and lenders continue to funnel Stern more than 5,000 new cases a month, and Fannie and Freddie have kept him as a designated counsel. A Freddie Mac spokesman cites Stern's good standing in Florida, but adds, "We certainly want all of our vendors to follow federal and state law." Neither Wells Fargo nor Bank of America, which work with Stern while publicly cheering Obama's housing relief programs and rolling out their own, would comment directly on their relationship with Stern. In an email, a Wells spokeswoman noted that the bank monitors all of its attorneys and adjusts its referrals accordingly. The problems at Stern's firm weren't confined to courthouse. Supervisors would instruct their staffs to ignore or hang up on homeowners who called in with complaints, according to people who worked there in the past. The rule applied even if the homeowner called with a legitimate issue. The response was, that's their problem. The bottom line is these foreclosure mills are nickel and diming people who are trying to save their houses. And when you add it all together, pretty soon you're talking some real money. Stern's back office operations cleared more than $44 million in profit last year. His company has now gone public and incorporated in the British Virgin Islands, a notorious tax haven, processing Stern foreclosures and hiring itself out to handle other firms' foreclosure paperwork too. Stern has gone out of his way to assure investors that foreclosures would surge in the second half of 2010 as clients processed their backlogs of delinquent loans. Stern explained that the time was right to invest. Historical data, he said, showed that people will continue losing their homes in large numbers through 2012, ensuring plenty of business. The market's shadow inventory, people in default whose homes have not yet gone into foreclosure, numbered between 5 and 7 million. And when those foreclosures go through the pipeline, the properties will need to be sold. Which is to say, the near future looks golden for the David Stearns and other foreclosure mills. As David Stern said, when people say, oh my God, the economy is bad, I'm like, oh my God, it's great. I hate to hear people are losing homes and credit isn't available and people's credit is such that they can't refinance, he told the investors. But if you are in our niche, it's what we want to do and it's what we want to see. So this is all from a very excellent expose by Andy Kroll in Mother Jones, Fannie and Freddie's Foreclosure Barons. In essence, how the federal housing agencies and some of the biggest bailed out banks are helping shady lawyers make millions by pushing families out of their homes. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP, 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous, debt-manageable life.